And we're back to the Blank Sutra Podcast. I am Carlos Reyes, one of your hosts, and right next to me across is the always fabulous Cameron Dorsey.
Hey, hey.
Today, we look upon a nice bright Thursday. And actually, the really great thing is today is our 10th episode that you guys are tuning in on.
Dude, we just entered double digits with the man of the hour.
Yeah. Cameron, want to introduce our guest here?
Oh, for sure. Yeah. So this man sitting to my right now has more entrepreneurial verve than the entire country of Estonia combined. It seeps from his pores, and he is the most infectious man I've ever met in my life, probably. He has a way of conjuring ideas and piecing together metaphor with reality, pragmatic with the esoteric. He is a wizard of many crafts, and he goes by the name of Andrew Holness. Andrew Holness, how you doing, brother?
Wow, that intro.
I'm serious. I mean it. Everywhere.
We rolled the carpet for you, the red carpet out.
Dude, yeah, I appreciate it. It's crazy because, like, I know y'all, but, like, when I'm here, it's just, like, the honor just, like, changes, you know? Like,
nah, dude, what are you talking about?
Well, it's like this, right? Like, you guys are obviously respected in your various fields and crafts, and then as people, you know, your community and all that speaks for itself. But it's just, like, the concentrated effort to put these things together and then, like, to welcome me in the space. I'm just like, yes, appreciate it.
You were, like, absolutely, our next on-demand guest, because as we were conceptualizing this in the early stages, it was like, obviously, we got to have Andrew on.
Yeah. It's like Andrew, Levi, like that the list was there, mm-hmm, and we already knew. So it's fantastic that we finally got you in here, man, because you're quite the international man of mystery. Yeah. If you don't mind my saying.
This, like, is a strong return, yeah, actually.
The return of the king,
yeah,
oh my gosh,
some would say. This Lord of the Rings 3.
Getting Lion King vibes right now.
Yes, man. Sir. Narnia, you know?
Yeah, no, it's cool, man. I actually came by here maybe like 3 weeks ago, maybe, when Carlos had a session, and like it was like the first time coming back in like a creative space, and I'd been like so just like head down focused in like a different path and direction, which it all comes full circle, but like just to be in that like creative energy was like, it was very healing, because like it's a different kind of demand that, you know, I'll say like the humans, you know, the people that are like outside of just like
the civilians.
Yeah, you know, like the people who just like want stuff by Friday versus like, you know, yeah, the thing that will create and craft and develop itself and mm-hmm then be enjoyed for many Fridays, you know.
Absolutely. Do you feel like the grind of that is worth it? The Deadlineville, the being at the beck and call of some dude or lady in a suit?
You know, it's like a two-part answer to that. I would say yes, it's definitely worth it, and I would not change anything about the journey thus far. But I feel like the most valuable part about it is just like the information, because like really at the end of the day, most people are after information, and you know, that's why knowledge is power. And I feel like having gone into the space of business and like specifically as a creative, like, you know, when I walk into a space, like I'm a producer, like I really just like let them know that. But mm-hmm, like, you know, in worlds where everything's quantified by numbers and returns and value and this and that, like you kind of have to learn how to identify your self-worth past just like believing in yourself. Like a lot of artists are more focused on like, you know, when they say self-worth and self-love and self-care, it's like this internal metaphorical thing that allows you to like be confident and true to yourself and your nature and all these different areas. But then when you apply it to an applicable area of business or entrepreneurship or just, you know, anything outside of what you just do in your own comfort zone, now all of a sudden, like, you learn different ways to communicate your ideas and different ways to provide the value to the people that you know will benefit from the things that you've already put the time into. So like it was definitely very valuable, but like that shit sucks.
Yeah. You gotta yeah, fall down and scrape a couple knees sometimes.
Yeah, bro.
For sure. Yeah. Do you, is there like a, what's the barrier between going from that artistic, like, self-worth, self-love, you know, like being like just hawking mixtapes out of a trunk somewhere versus like, I don't know, what would you say would be the first step, most beneficial step to an artist, to strictly an artist, to break into more of becoming like a business?
Really, I think it's about, you know, and it's kind of like that phrase of just like the third person omniscient point of view. Like, you kind of have to like remove yourself from the identity of just being an artist. Cause I feel like we put ourselves in a box. Like, for the longest, I would just be like, yeah, I make beats. And like, I was doing all these things outside of making beats that I would like hear myself saying it when people would ask me to do stuff. I'm like, what the fuck, man? I make beats. Like, I don't do this, or I can't do that. Knowing that I could, but it was just, you know, like, at that point in time, you know, it's kind of just ingrained, like, that's the comfort zone. And now it's like you're being asked to put together proposals or design something or create a commercial. And it's just like, what the hell? Like, this is so far away from what I do. But then, like I said, like, you find the parallel. So I would say the thing to really look for is like the discipline that made you skilled in the craft that you are comfortable in, being able to like find that niche, like within yourself. Like, for me, I learned that it was like, I fell in love with the idea of working hard. So I would just like go above and beyond to try to be the best in like whatever it was. But then once you get into that space and, you know, now you're not just the labeled artist, you have to kind of become more of the business. Like, you ask, it's like, okay, well, what about me makes me great at what I do? And then from there, it's like, oh, it's because I'm going to put in more reps than the person next to me. Or, oh, I'm going to go the extra mile to try to understand the problem that we're trying to solve. Or, oh, man, I might have to acquire a new skill or reach out to somebody who is more talented and more, you know, proficient in that. And now you're involving a team. So I feel like that was like the way for me, like, I shifted from just looking at myself as a beat maker to more of a producer. And then from a producer to more of like video production, entertainment, music production, like, entity, you know what I mean? So it's still evolving for sure. I think it just depends on whatever the venture is, but it's like your network is really like so valuable in how you're going to go about like navigating in these kind of spaces for sure.
So there's like a Venn diagram nature to it, where like this is housed within this, and you're starting from the smallest circle, being like beat maker. And then when you're asked to like, hey, can you record me singing vocals on this actually? And you're like, I can, but I'm a beat maker. And you have that internal, you know, that internal dispute, but then you have to cut away that part of you that's trying to limit you. And then it sort of grows and grows and grows. Yeah.
It's like a hard boiled egg. It has to go through the boiling phase for then you to easily peel off the skin. And then there you go.
Intense.
I remember in school, just like going through that live sound class was a different battle for all of us.
Yeah.
But I'm sure out of it, because then I started hanging out with you. And then that was when you were starting to get into like ESI and all these other, you know, companies. It's just like, oh, wow. So now there's like a more of an insight from it.
Yeah. You know, what's crazy about those days is that like, I feel like I still don't know anything, bro. Like,
yeah,
you know, like it's like, like school. I mean, school, like that live sound class. I don't know if I told you, but like I almost didn't graduate because like I didn't like turn in my final for the live sound class. I guess I thought it was like homework while I was doing it. I just like put it in my book bag and just like went home after. Literally like 5 months go by and I just like didn't get a diploma, and they were like, yeah, you didn't pass your live sound class, you didn't graduate. I was like, what? Like, but all that being said, the knowledge base I have then versus what I have now versus what I was learning at ESI and, you know, working in Backline, it was like I was always really, really close to the people who were like the most like proficient, like genius level experts at these things that like at that time, being like 19, 20 years old, it was kind of intimidating.
Oh, yeah.
Because it was like, you know, the responsibility and the pressure of like, oh, this person's guitar is not working. Go run out there and fix it. And I'm like, holy shit. Like, I was just learning how to wrap cables last week. Yeah, like,
over and under?
You know, I'm just like, holy shit. There's like 40,000 people in the stands. And they're like, you know, I'm like, look up. I like see my face looking shocked on like the big screen. And it's just like, I'm like, oh my God. Yeah. I like sweating and shit. So like, but all that stuff, they really did like prepare, you know, I would say like the confidence to be able to like dive into new ventures. And, you know, like I know for like, especially a lot of creatives that I know, like they can stop themselves from even like starting, you know what I mean? Like getting yes, in sir. Your own way. So
yes, sir.
It was definitely a principle of lesson in that, you know, yes, there's technical knowledge that you learn as far as like mixing is, you know, being in the studio versus like live sound versus, you know, for me, a live sound, I didn't even really look at the mixers that much. I was more like focused on like, oh, look at all these vendors here. Oh, there's a video production crew. Oh, wait, who made this happen? You know, like, where are we? Like, why did this happen? You know, like the overall thing. But, you know, there was so much to pull from that. And I think the biggest value I got was just being around people that were just straight up just smarter and better and more devoted. But like, you can just have a conversation and like gain like 2 years worth of wisdom in like 20 minutes, you know?
Yeah.
Oh yeah, there's XP to be acquired.
Yes.
For sure.
Yes.
Everywhere you go.
In a festival environment, there's a lot of people moving boxes, but also just like, you know, just making the connections, the networking, and even solo, you know, marketing and all that kind of stuff. It's a crazy.
Is there, I get a sense from you that you are still the artist beat maker. You still get these flashes of inspiration that you need to, you know, exude from yourself, like most artists. Otherwise, it kind of drives you crazy. And if you don't do your craft that you came into the game with, it sort of cheapens your existence. But that being said, I just in that last statement you made in that last answer to the question, you were saying, I was looking around and I see all these vendors. I see the video production crew. Do you see a transformation inside yourself to becoming more, again, I said in the intro, but entrepreneurially minded, or like looking from a business, you know, empire generational wealth perspective nowadays? Because I just get that sense from you, but you can confirm or deny that for me.
No, yeah, you know, I always felt responsible for like not only my success, but the success of like the people around me, you know?
Oh, yeah.
And I feel like a lot of that stemmed from sports, you know, like when you're the person who they expect to, you know, hit the shot or to, you know, to make the play or whatever that avenue is. Coming into music specifically was like a really weird transition, because like I have like an obsessive competitive like problem. Like I'm like really, really competitive, and like I rather win than anything else in like everything in my life. So like music, I didn't really have like a space I could put that. Like I'll try to go do like the little beat battles and stuff, but it just felt like it was too subjective and not really, you know, like still could do well, but it didn't really like satisfy that hunger. So then like the thing that satisfied it more than anything was just like putting the weight on my shoulders to be like, hey, like whatever that creative goal or vision is, it's just like, you got to make it happen. And it's like, I know I can't do it by myself, but I would still put all of that responsibility on my shoulders to say, hey, even if it's not just you doing it, like put the people in the places that they need to be in to be successful, or like learn the skills that are needed to acquire or accomplish whatever that goal is. So it definitely opened up like a wormhole of just like studying and knowledge, and you know, you kind of like don't go on this linear path when you jump into any type of venture that is to like accomplish your dreams. You know, like once you really have like a clear vision of what you want in life, like it's really not a straight line, you know. And I think that this was just like a part of the journey to understand like how to bring together the things that you see naturally. Like you hear the song in your head, or you see the visuals in your mind, and it's like, how do you bring this to life, but do it in a way that's sustainable and not a fleeting success that you're always chasing the dragon, you know?
Absolutely.
Chasing the dragon.
Chasing the dragon, baby. Just trying to keep the ball rolling.
Thanks.
Yeah, I mean, and anytime to like second your point, anytime that we've talked and you've talked about crazy business ventures you're on and like cool ass deals you're doing halfway across the country, you always say like, yeah, man, we're all going up, you know, like I'm everybody wins, you know? And I'm like, dude, Andrew, just keep doing what you're doing. Like, I don't expect, dude, like, don't worry. Just keep doing what you're doing. You're doing great for you, man. Like, there's no obligation, I feel, that you should feel, but I'm not in your head, you know? And I can't be, but I would hope that to kind of ease that spirit, you know, not saying it because I love you the way you are, but you know.
Yeah, no, I get it. I do. You know, the funny thing is though, is that like, it's not even just like about like an individual or just like the squad specifically. I feel like the purpose is like, it's bigger than any initial idea. Cause at first, you know, it's like, you know, working closely with, you know, my friends of like, okay, like I want to help them get to, you know, that level of, you know, success or platform with their music. You know, it's like, oh, you want to be a star, quote unquote, or you want to like perform in front of thousands. It's like, okay, yeah, that's doable. But now it's more like I see like a pattern, and like this is like everywhere. I don't know, you know, I haven't talked to everybody in the world yet. I think that's like something that, you know, you can communicate with when you put like visuals and story together. But a lot of creative entrepreneurs and just, you know, artists and musicians, we all have this lane where like we start doing things, and then like sometimes we find ourselves like either questioning the value of what we're doing or like trying to figure out how to like take it to the next level, or like if it's even worth the time. And you know, you like constantly find yourself like battling this thing, and you know your quality, you know you have the talent, you know you're good enough, but it's just like, what's that missing piece to be able to like truly have like the freedom and the bliss to do what you love in a facet where you're not expecting it to just pay you. Like, you're not doing it for money, but you're doing it for like the internal currency and the value that it brings to you. And I'm like, what is that thing for most people? And I realize that it's just like the self-fulfillment of like doing what you say you're going to do. Cause I watch a lot of people battle the, yeah, man, I'm going to do this, or oh, I'm working to go and do this. And then years can go by and it's like, how's that going? It's like, you know, either you got an excuse or like, you know, you hit this roadblock and, you know, you're still working on it. But like, you know, the concept of just like analysis paralysis, where you can just, you know, be in the lab, just cooking plans, and you never actually like put anything on the stove. You know what I mean?
Too many damn options.
Yeah, bro. So that's why I always want to bring people in and just to show what's possible. Cause like the things that I've done, I don't even, you know, for me, I don't feel like it's that cool, but like it's perspective. Cause you know, you come back home and you like share a story or a moment or a thing, and it's like, holy shit, you were with who? You were doing what? You did this? How much was that? And it's like, okay, I guess when you think about it, like if your goal wasn't to get to that level or to do that thing, it sounds kind of crazy. But like when the vision is so much bigger than what that initial goal was, the goal is just a stepping stone. So it's just like that shoot for the stars, land on the moon thing. So I almost want to just come back just to be like, hey, like here's the success principles and the mindset type of, you know, disciplines that I've personally learned or experienced through working with, you know, my friends and with artists and with, you know, these different, you know, entrepreneurs and celebrities. But like, how do you apply that as a creative? It's like, dude, we have the superpower, because like we really can make our dreams and our visions come through, you know, way easier than somebody who's behind a desk, you know, at an office.
Yeah. Way easier in this timeline.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. This universe. So what is, if you could break off a piece of gold for the Blank Sutra people, what are
those hungry folk?
Yeah. What's one of the principles that you live by, you know?
So it's crazy, right? It's almost like multi-dimensional thinking, right? So I look at it like we have that innate idea, you know, maybe you're just like sitting at the park, just hanging out, and like, you just, you know, if you're a musician, you just hear like this song in your head, you're like, oh shit.
Oh yeah.
That sounds crazy. Like, you're just like, ooh, and you get excited. You're like, I'm gonna get back home, get on my guitar, get on my piano, you know, get on the laptop, and I'm gonna try to like bring this idea to reality. Well, that translates to just transcribing your thought and putting it into like the physical world. So for some people, if you're a lyricist, it's writing down that idea, or maybe you record something on your phone or on a microphone or whatever. But then the next dimension to that would be taking the action, right? So you write it down or you get the idea out. Now you got to complete it. So don't just play the riff and be like, ooh, that would be cool. Like, actually stay disciplined enough and stay in that flow or in that moment enough to, like, complete the entire vision all the way through. So you leave no stone unturned. It's not like, yeah, man, I'm working on this cool idea. It's like, no, like, listen to this. Like, I always love, like, being able to say less and just, like, press a play button and just and
blow people's minds.
You know, like, it's so it's so powerful because, like, it just shows the discipline in yourself to, like, really hang on to the moment. It's like when you're talking and you, like, lose your train of thought and you're like, oh, what was I going to say? Like, it's the same principle that allows you to go back and, like, find what you were going to say and then clearly communicate it versus, like, being upset because maybe you didn't get a chance to say it when it was on your mind or, you know, maybe the conversation didn't give you a window to, like, share your idea and you lost it. Like, it's just taking value in the ideas that you have and really transcribing them and, like, cherishing them so that you can give it the same love and attention that you would to something that you feel is even greater than just, like, a cool song that pops in your head, you know? But it can evolve into so many different things, but we just have to allow ourselves to, like, see it for what it is in that initial moment, in that dream state, and then, like, bring it into action and manifest it into the world. And from there, when people see that and they feel the energy about it, like, it's crazy. Like, the law of attraction is a real thing, you know? You start finding, like, people, oh my God, that song was crazy, or like, yo, the song changed my life, or you know what I mean? Yeah, it applies to everything. So that would be the biggest one for sure.
Maybe there's something to be said about when you are open to that genius, like at first it kind of just strikes where it's like you're out shopping or just sitting in a park and you get that idea that is strictly for your instrument or strictly it's or even it's in broad terms, like a whole song is in your head and you're like you were saying, like, oh my God, like this is the craziest thing I've ever heard. I got to get this out somehow. Maybe if you are receptive to wherever that's coming from, it's like a reciprocal sort of relationship you can build from that source place where the more you exercise transcribing from that like ethereal creative realm, the more paved the road gets between you and those ideas or that place where the ideas come.
Yeah, dude, you laid it out very clean. And I guess like the best way to say it, I remember there was a time where like I would just be like high every day, like just off of like eating edibles. Like, for real, you know what I mean? Like, I never smoked, but like I remember the time where it was like, okay, I would like make brownies and just like, you know, that feeling, right? Because I never really was like in that, you know, world. So it's like
zoned in,
you know, being under the influence, right? Being high.
Yeah.
It was like, why does this feel different than my sober mind? It's still me. It's still my brain. But like, why does this feel different? And I remember trying to like map out as it was happening, like what the difference was and what the feelings were and what the emotions and the energy were. And then from there, you learn how to get there without it. So yeah. It's like, that's the place where
it's important.
You know, you're those different things take you to the dream world, right? And then you like can find the information and all that stuff. But most people, what happens? You get high, you eat some chips, you like and sit down on the couch, watch a movie, fall asleep, wake up, all those great ideas, you didn't capture them. Guess what? You're not gonna fucking do
gone.
Shit. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So now it's just like a GPS and it's like a blueprint of like, okay, like what is the state of mind that I have to be in with or without? You know what I mean? You don't necessarily need that at all. But it's like, what's that state of mind where I can be so present that I understand exactly what that idea was with that song that popped in my head or with that idea that can make millions or with that, you know, collaborative business model that can like bring a community together. And then it's like, let me transcribe it. Let me write it down on the whiteboard. Let me make a proposal with graphic design skills and elements that are like visually appealing so I can like show it to somebody who then has their own vision and mindset to be able to bring it to life. So it becomes very collaborative, but it's just all like, the principle is just communication, you know?
Mm-hmm. Indeed. Mm. Going back into what you were mentioning earlier about a competitive mindset and growing into sports, pretty much, you still play, or I guess like growing up, were you were playing basketball and some football?
Basketball and soccer, yeah. So football for the Europeans and the rest of the world.
Football.
Yeah. But yeah, definitely those were the two. Those were the two for sure.
And nowadays, as you know, in a professional adult doing, you know, the great strides that this community also, you know, enjoys having you around, do you feel as if there is still something that you still bring that competitiveness from yourself that you can sort of like, it's almost like you're exercising that muscle still, even as you were as a teenager, a young adult. Like, I feel like a lot of us, whether our things are, you know, being professional athletes, being good at programming, you know, computer stuff and all that stuff, there is still something that we try to, like, you know, still do each day of the week. It's because it's like a muscle of ours. Do you feel like competitiveness is like rooted in you?
Yeah, I'm crazy, bro. I definitely feel like that'll never go away. But in a community setting and in the environment, it's more about like me trying to be better than I was yesterday. And I realized that like when you can like channel a certain level of excellence within yourself, even if it's little things, you know, it doesn't mean like everything I do has to be perfect, but it's like I have to go about the process of being great every day in order to live a life of greatness. You know what I mean? It's like, it doesn't come at the end, you know, when it's all said and done. It's like literally about every single action and how you approach and how you go about your process and the things you do. And I noticed that when you do that and you go within yourself and focus on just the improving in different areas, like that vibration, you know, people who are around you, they might not even really be paying attention to you, but all of a sudden they start paying more attention to themselves and they try to improve themselves and do better for themselves. And it's not coming from that same energy of competition, but it's more so of like self-improvement and like maximizing your potential. Yeah. 'Cause I know that we all have the potential to be so great. But the thing that separates those who have potential versus those who actualize it are those disciplines and are those habits and are those little things that, you know, not everybody's going to clean up their cables when they get on a stage and do their thing. So, you know, maybe somebody trips or a guitar comes unplugged because, you know, whatever. So it's like you just start to practice those things where you don't even think about it. And now, like, that allows my competitive nature to, like, really, like, have room to breathe because I don't have to be going against anybody, but I'm just going within myself and like it compounds, you know, because now I don't really think about it as much. You know, people might say like, oh, he's so intense, or oh, he's really focused. And then others might say like, oh, dude, that guy, he's amazing, or oh, she's fucking incredible. But really all it is just like hyper awareness of like my own process and learning how I learn and learning how I can improve and learning how I can really take whatever lessons and knowledge I've, you know, been able to be blessed enough to gain from others and like share, you know what I mean? Like, it's very empowering to like educate, you know, if I'm a 7 on a scale of 1 to 10 when it comes to knowledge in a certain area, like I can teach all the 1s through the 6s the things that I've learned and still go out and learn from the people who are 8s, 9s, and 10s, you know what I mean? Like just really just each one teach one kind of a principle.
Yeah, man. And like, yeah, like you were saying, it's all about the day-to-day. It's not about all the big actions that happen, but like every big achievement or victory is just a big pile of tiny actions that you've made yourself do, you know. Live like no one else so later you can live like no one else, you know. And like, I've like, making my bed is like one of the best things I've ever started doing for myself, because it's you're starting the day with a victory.
Yeah,
and you're starting the day with like, I'm consciously caring for myself and how, you know, cleanliness is godliness, everything around me, I want it to be in order so that, I don't know, like to steward the inspiration like you were talking about, so that when it comes, it can come in on a nice clean place and then touch me with a smile on its face so that I can, you know, I can execute on this shit, you know. Dude, I am picking up what you're putting down pretty heavily right now, Andrew. I don't know if you could tell.
No, for sure, bro. It's beautiful because literally the same thing, making the bed, flossing.
Right? Yeah, flossing, bro. That's huge.
Flossing before bed for me is the other one. And honestly, the other one is exercise, because I found, like, I call it like the years of like isolation. You know, you guys were around during those times, but you and maybe like 10 other people were like the only people I saw for like years at a time, probably from like 22 to like 25. I like just didn't go outside, and like that was where a lot of those disciplines kind of came in, because it was like all right, like, I just set this goal that sounds fucking crazy and it doesn't seem attainable. You know, it's like, I want to be the greatest producer of all time and I want to affect the world with my music and the videos that I create and the entertainment that, you know, is cultivated through that and inspire the world. And it's like, what? It's like, yeah, and I want to make millions of dollars too. What? It's like, yeah, and I want to do it before I'm 25. And then they're like, okay, nah, fuck you, bro. Like, you know what I mean? But like, if you're not making your bed, then like, who are you to say you can do all of that? You know? So you got to have a parallel. You know?
No, yeah. If God entrusts you with a specific toolkit thus far, if you don't take care of the tools you got, how do you expect any more tools to come onto the belt?
Dude? Yeah, bro.
Like, if you want a fancy car, and you're just bemoaning the car you drive now, you know, it's like, well, no, why don't you just take care of that car? Or like, if you want more money, how about you learn to steward the money that you have right now better so that, yeah. You know, you can be smiled upon by fortune and given.
You could do those stuff now.
I mean, whether it's money, influence, it's only going to make you more of what you are now.
Right.
Like, and a douchebag who gets $1 million is just going to be a richer douchebag.
Yeah, dude.
It's just going to be a douchebag that can, like, use the valet now, you know?
Yeah, you know, one of the most valuable things, so, we kind of been, like, talking around it, but I'll, like, kind of dive into, like, what's, like, happening and, like, the spaces and the people.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, right now, I'm on a daily basis, I'm either in conversation with or in the presence of millionaires and billionaires. And the coolest part about that is that they all have something in common with each other. And then I also see those same things within myself, right? So it's like you start to like evolve past like the comparative thinking, you know, like when you're first, like we talk about self-worth, you know, self-validation, value, all that stuff. You're kind of like looking at others and like, you know, am I this good or am I that good or is it this? And eventually you kind of get tired of that and you're like, all right, like, fuck everybody else. Like, let me focus on me. But then you evolve to that level where you're paying only attention to the people around you, not from a place of comparison, but from a place of, like, measuring the levels of your own reflection that you need to be able to, like...
Like, looking for the patterns, like you were saying.
Yeah, you know, like, you start to see, like, certain things. Like, you know, you guys as musicians, you probably see things in Robert Glasper that you guys have similarities in that have nothing to do with chord progressions. You know what I mean? It might just be certain mentalities or like ways of seeing the world.
Definitely in interviews of a lot of musicians.
Right.
You start to see those comparisons.
Exactly. So it's like
in your playing too, yeah.
Exactly. And that, you know, you're reverse engineering the process of how somebody became who they are. So like being in these spaces now where you have, you know, these entrepreneurs who really got there because of, you know, one, their desire, right? You have to want it. It's not just going to fall into your lap. Because like you said, if you don't have the toolkit, you know, to be able to like steward these different things, then like you're going to fumble the bag. You know what I mean?
Yes, sir.
So these are the people now where they're like at that stage where they're giving back, you know, because like it's a part of why they wanted to get there in the first place, to do and inspire and improve the lives of others. So, like, these are, like, life lessons where it's, like, yeah, there's technical knowledge about, in this case, you know, acquiring real estate or about putting together, you know, multi-million dollar events or putting together, you know, funds where you're raising hundreds of millions of dollars to go out and, like, you know, acquire properties or go out and invest capital for other people. But it's, like, what's the incentive behind it all? It's, like, and how do I as a producer come in and, like, bring value to a space like that? Well, it comes back to, like, emotional appeal and, like, the inspirational value that people can really, like, visualize and see the dream that they want to attain. Because you're really, you know, with any marketing, you're really selling people an idea that they already either thought about or were right next to. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
They're right there. It's like, oh, shit. Man, I just want to get in better shape, man. If I could, and then all of a sudden you get hit with this ad that has the perfect workout plan just for you, for people that look like you, that think like you, that do exactly what you want to do, but they're selling it to you through marketing and visuals and video production. And we
the
know
algorithm.
Exactly. And we know music is a bed for that entire platform. If you got a fucking horror song playing at the midst of that, like, you're not going to motivate people. You're going to scare them, you know? So it's like, yeah. Now you're bringing those instrumentalist type of perspectives. Like, okay, as a producer, I know if I have cymbals and hi-hats and, you know, shakers, like, there's going to be a lot of pace and energy behind this thing. And any chord progression I put might take it to a happier place or a more stoic pace, or it might take it to a, you know, you can just kind of like build it from there. But it's really interesting because all that stuff all ties together. And I think that's how like these worlds of like merging the influence of music and video and entertainment and then now business, when you take a step back, you realize like these are like the foundations for like the world that we live in on like a societal level. You know, we're always getting hit with these kind of things, but now we get to like choose the lane that we want to focus on and, you know, vertically grow in that direction or like horizontally, like starting to expand.
Yeah, it's I always was it's related, I swear to God, but on like, you ever play one of those old Dragon Ball Z games?
Ooh, yes. You know, we were just talking about Budokai.
Yeah, dude, sick, like legendary. Yes. But when they show the skills or somebody's skill makeup, it differs from like American made games where you have like different bars for different things like agility, strength, health, stamina. It's a circle in like, I don't know, in these Japanese, yeah, and it's like a web, and yeah, like it stretches, like this stretches out if you have a lot of like, you know, magic power, yeah, or, and that's all those different disciplines.
Right.
That's how I'm wow, seeing it as you're explaining it, like, you know, yeah, visual arts, music arts, business acumen, they're all on this circle,
like a pie graph,
but yes, you want to have a bunch of different people but select group of people that are disciplined heavily, more so than you, in those different avenues, and then utilize them in a way that is conducive to, you know, eventually looking like the whole circle's full, you know, and like just a flawless execution on a marketing campaign or rolling out a business or negotiation, whatever step of the process you're on.
Yeah, going beyond the traditional Rolodex of contacts that you have.
Yeah, or just looking through it and finding the ones you need where you're weak, you know?
Yeah.
And I'm sure you're seeing that in the company you've been keeping recently. Is there any quality, maybe on like a core value level, that you've been seeing as like an average or like a mean across the board with all these different people you've been in contact with?
For sure. And I, you know, with, you know, there's hundreds of people, but I would say like across the board, it's funny, right? Because you have certain things, like you can go to like a, you know, some people are familiar with Tony Robbins.
Oh, hell yeah, bro. That's my boy.
You know, I went to one of his seminars in November, and like, you know, he says a lot of things I felt like I kind of like just discovered in my own journeys in life and stuff. So I understand where he comes from, because, you know, he sought out the wisdom and the knowledge of people who spent their whole lives like just focusing in very specific disciplines, especially when you go out to like, you know, the eastern side of the world and things like that. But like, I know being grateful and like having the awareness of like the gratitude for what you have is definitely the most constant thing that I've seen, because everybody who has a lot is very aware and is really intentional with being able to do a lot with what they have for others. So, you know,
well, like, that's awesome.
Yeah, like, dude, like very powerful stuff.
So the stereotype of the, you know, really mean asshole type billionaire dude who's just like, I don't care about those African kids. Like, is that just like a, you know, falsehood?
There, I mean, I'm sure they're out there, but the thing is like, you know, it's about the company you keep. So like, I would never encounter that person strictly because of the way I live my life. And like, you know, it doesn't matter, you know, and it's not to call it any one person, but like, regardless of who you are, like, I'm going to treat you like a human being. And like, if you're on some bullshit, like, I have to call it out, because like, my character won't allow me to not speak to it, because like, I'm still from New York. You know what I mean? I'm gonna be like, yo, what the fuck are you doing? Like,
these Tims still be stomping. Yeah,
like, come on, bro. Yeah, man, I had the like, Tims on this week, bro. Come on,
man. I'm just not going to nod along while you're talking a bunch of nonsense.
Like, but that's the freedom, though, because, you know, we didn't come from that box of like, you clock in at this time, you clock out at that time, you can't say this, you can't say that, don't bring up this idea unless you talk to this person. Like, fuck that, yo. Like, the idea is there. So you just sometimes you just blurt that shit out, like, hey, what if we did this? And everybody's like, oh my God, he spoke.
Yeah.
Why is he saying things? Who's the new guy? Like, yeah, you know, like, but you know, that other person, that other, you know, entity or that owner or that billionaire or millionaire is like, yeah, let's do that. It's a great idea. And then all of a sudden it's like everybody else like, oh shit, can we like vocalize, like,
wait, we can express our opinions, right, here.
It's like self-expression, like, what is this? It's like, dude, it comes from the fucking the world that we live in now. So, you know, there is so many things that, you know, and I would say the next like 2 years I have like a very drawn out mission to be able to like give a lot of this knowledge back to the creatives and to the entrepreneurs that are in that, you know, that hybrid space, like you say, of having like, hey, you're really talented at this, but you also are really adaptable in this area. And then you're really interested or passionate over here, and being able to map out how you can actually like get paid to not like, quote unquote, do what you love, but get paid to be who you are.
Damn. Yeah. That's what I'm talking about.
Mic drop.
Dude, legit. At this. I was like, whoa. All right. Damn, you got to clip that out, Carlos. But I mean, yeah, dude, and I'm sure, going back to what you were saying about the gratitude, like, you got to understand that at that level, you've built yourself such a structure and that you're at the top of it, and it can get really rickety the more holes there are in your character.
Yeah.
And the more, you know, corners you cut, the more rickety that whole structure gets. And everybody, and you got a lot of people underneath you who are like looking up to you, looking up, like, looking to you for answers, and you have to become some sort of like philosopher king at a certain level and just like, you know, see through and treat people like human beings, like you're saying. And man, I mean, I hope that you've met more than me, but I hope that that's just like a common theme across the board.
You know, it's like anything, like as an artist, right? The best way to relate it is just being transparent and being vulnerable. So like, at the highest levels, you know, everybody's trying to protect their brand and build their image, and, you know, it all is aligning with the brand and this and that. And it's like, you know, what's crazy is that, like, if you spend energy trying to do that, you're almost always going to fail, because you're positioning yourself as if you're not aligned and as if you're not in congruency with the things that you believe. So I find it perfect to say, hey, like, this is who I am. Like, I'm not perfect at all. Like, I have a lot of flaws, but like, I don't focus on those at all. I focus on where I can improve the things I'm already good at. And then any of my weaknesses, I try to find people who are better than me at those, who I can inspire with what I've already done or with what the team is building towards, to want to have a desire to wake up and be a part of it. Because like, it's about like rallying the troops, you know. Like, my friend said something one time, he was like, I feel like if we lived in a different time, you would be like a war general. And I was like, that's kind of crazy you say that, but like, I see where you're coming from, because it's like, you can't win the war by yourself, but you have to be able to inspire the troops around you to be able to go out and fight for something greater than themselves. So like, where does the mission lie within what we all wake up and say we want to do every day with our lives? Is it something that we're trying to build a foundation for, and like, man, one day I'm going to leave this job and go and do insert whatever your real passion or dream is? It's like, nah, you don't have to wait. How about take the time to do that one principle we talked about earlier, like transcribe it, like really write it down, like super clear, so you can like see it every day. And then from there, you start to like write down other thoughts in journaling. You know, shout out to Jaquan. He was the one who, you know, was always really heavy in the journaling.
Oh, and yeah, that, always writing.
Dude, literally, like, it shattered my whole initial perspective, because, like, I used to feel like I had so many thoughts and so much shit in my mind, and I would, like, start writing it down, and I realized after, like, a month, I have, like, 7 things that I think about. It's just, like, you know, yeah, just different ways. It's, yeah, just 7 things.
Different iterations of the same 7 things.
Exactly, bro. So after I was able to move past that, like, the dream became so much clearer, because it was, like, at first, the comparative, I got to be better than Dr. Dre. I got to be better than Kanye. Man, I could play way better than Pharrell. He always plays the same chords. Like, yeah, you know, and it evolved from that to like, oh, wait, but look at how much they've impacted. Look at how many people they've inspired to, oh, shit, like, I'm distracted. You know, there's women over here. There's other opportunities over here. There's money over here. And it's like, what am I really doing it for? then you fall on your ass because you don't know why you're doing it. And then from there, you literally have to hit rock bottom in order to know where the top is. Because it's like, to reach the top of anything, like, you have to know the entire, like, surface area of where you're actually playing this game in your life. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So to ride the high horse for any length of time without actually going through the struggle is hardly ever reaching the potential that you have.
Yeah, I feel like burning away the dead wood, like kind of to quote Jordan Peterson a little bit, but like burning away the dead wood and the extraneous stuff that doesn't even really matter, like, you know, whether it is like a woman or in a comparison, like there's so many different little whirlpools you can get caught in. And by the time you're about to get sucked under, you're like, oh shit, this is stupid. I shouldn't even been thinking about this. Like, what am I doing? But like, getting down to the bare essentials, journaling to the point where you see that there are only seven things that I think about, and seven things is way better than the perceived 1.5 million things I thought I was thinking about. You know, this is way easier a mountain to scale now that I know the boxes that I have to tick for myself. And yeah, man, I recently kind of cut all consumption of screen out. You know, I'm attempting to do that to get back to like, you know, connecting to that ethereal inspiration realm, because there was a time in my life where it was so easy and it was just music was playing in my head like it was like a fucking Pandora station just playing in my head all day, but it was my own shit. And I was like, oh man, when I get home, I'm gonna put that down. And like, you were saying in the beginning that the most important like sort of currency, and I wanted to add on to that by saying that attention is probably first or second like biggest commodity today, because so many things in our lives are like automated, taken care of by the internet or just people who are assigned to take care of the things that, you know, 100 years ago, if we didn't have, we'd fucking die. But now at the click of a button, we can take care of them. At this point, attention is worth more than even like gold.
You know, I would be careful with that too, because that is the new school deception. You know, like, I'm going to a conference in Vegas next week, and you know, it's teaching real estate professionals about content creation and their brand and attention. And like,
yeah, slippery slope there, you
know,
brother.
I've been in a lot of spaces now where, you know, you have these professionals or these gurus or these experts trying to teach about content creation. Like, this is what they call, like, you know, the art of creating, you know, videos or music or ads or whatever. And the intention behind it is attention, and the other intention behind it is money. And both of those things are fleeting, because some of the greatest and most impactful people in the world had no eyes on them when they did the work that was truly the work that was compounded by inspiring others to go and, you know, set actions as well. And the money, if you have no intention behind it, the attention won't get you anything. So, like, it's a weird space, and I'm glad that you're, you know, disconnecting from like the devices to be able to like reconnect with that source and that inspiration that like fuels you to go, because we all have our own dimension of that same source. You know, it's not all just from the same place, but it is in the same plane of just like being levitated in that kind of, you know, realm. So now, as you know, people in business try to take these things on, like, I really put myself in those spaces to just kind of understand and learn, because like, they truly have no definitive intention with what they're doing yet. And it's interesting to watch it evolve, because I'm watching, like I said, I'm amongst the people like the Eric Thomases or most recently the Tim Tebows and like all these people who are already at that level of like, hey, we've got attention, we've got money, we've got fame, we've got power. But like, the last thing they care about is likes on a post or how many views they got on a video.
Way past that.
You know, it's all about impact and giving back. You know, we spend our whole lives to attain all of this stuff with the intention of just giving it all away. And I had a mentor who, you know, he spoke very powerful words, man. He was like, you know where the richest place in the world is?
The graveyard.
The fucking graveyard, bro.
Yeah. Mm. It's true.
The fucking graveyard where all the unrealized dreams and potentials are. So when he said that to me, bro, like, it really shifted my mind. Like, if you go on my Instagram now, YoungDrew904, it's really not, you know, like, there's not enough space for me to put the fucking 20 terabytes worth of stuff that have been created.
Oh, but yeah.
At the same time, like, if I take the necessary amount of, you know, discipline to put together an experience for people, you know, I can make 3 videos and it can have way more reach and way more impact than the 3 posts a day for a week with this amount of likes and this many shares and whatever the fuck they're trying to teach.
Top 10 ways to scam the shit out of people. Like those sort of videos.
Literally, bro. Hey, you want to have subtitles like this? Visit this website and they'll do it just like this. So your shit will look like everybody else's. Yeah, it's like, bro, like, come on, yo. Like, it never worked. If you're copying somebody, it shit never works, bro.
No, and the intention has to be pure, like you're saying. If you see content creation and whatnot as a means to an end and not the thing itself that's going to take you to the promised land, and if you don't even know what the damn promised land is from the beginning, you're just, like you said, you're chasing your ass, you're running in circles, and you know, you're gonna always be bummed by the metrics because they're not up to this invisible impossible standard you set for yourself, you know. Yeah. Like, I want 10 million likes in 2 seconds after I post this post. Like, that's physically just not going to happen.
Yeah.
But taken to its extreme, like you're saying, if they do a whole seminar on content creation, you can mislead a lot of people. Dude. To, you know, not throwing shade on anybody's fucking conference what they're doing. No, I'm not, man, trying to do that. I mean, Andrew's still going.
It happens, man. You know, like I said earlier, bro, it's about getting paid to do, you know, the things that you do, and it's just naturally who you are. Because, like, if you're not the person who's naturally excited to wake up and create content, well, you'll probably make content for like a month or two, and then eventually some regular experience in your life is going to happen, and you're going to use that as your excuse to stop. Like, oh, you know, I ran out of gas and I was late to work, and now, you know, I couldn't get my camera, so now I just never got back on it, you know? Like, it's not who you are.
And probably even more dystopic of a possibility with that line of thinking. Like, say you don't like content creation, and then you get into content creation. You do it for a month, and then you go viral. And now you're kind of, chained to this thing that you don't even like to do.
You're on the pedestal.
The fear of success, bro. It happens.
Yeah, dude. And, like, I'm more talking about, like, that person who's like, I don't like making content, but I'm just trying to, you know, make some money. Like, the intention is
staying up all night.
Yeah, the intention is green for sure. It's not anything golden, you know. And you get into it and you do take off, but then you realize, like, oh shit, mechanically I just don't even like doing this.
Yeah,
like, this kind of blows. And I'm glad of the fortune and stuff. And so it's almost like a 9-to-5 soulless job at that point, if your mind is not in that, you know, if your intention for existence is not aligned with that.
Yeah.
But I've been, like, probably along the lines of what you're talking about, like, I've been obsessed with the idea of getting paid just to be myself.
Mm.
You know, just to not have to even worry about a brand, because the brand is me, sort of thing. Like, that would be sick,
bro. Literally, we can break down how to do it in 5 minutes, bro.
On the podcast?
On the fucking podcast.
Okay,
bro.
Dude.
So
teach the students.
Teach.
So the crazy part, right? So everybody, first off, whoever's listening, like, this is not you trying to be like Cameron or be like Carlos or be like myself. Like, literally, like, you have to start with looking in the mirror. And people say that metaphorically, but, like, dead ass, like, stare in the mirror. Like, till it gets awkward, you know? Because, like, you'll start to notice things about yourself. I'm like, oh, shit, like, I got one eyebrow hair that just sticks out. Mm. Like, I had no idea. That shit's like, should I cut it? Like, you just, like, random things you don't notice, you know? Like,
for sure.
And you start to, like, see how you move. You see your posture. Oh, shit, I've been slouching. Oh, I've been sitting down for 10 hours a day. Maybe I should. Oh, my back muscles are weak. Maybe I should. So you start to really just take inventory on yourself, like, visually. And then from there, go deeper, internally, emotionally. How are you feeling? Now you're writing things, right? And then from there, you just take out a page and you write down all the things that you love. Everything. Whether it's TV, whether it's music, whether it's people, whatever. And then from there, you write down all the things you're good at, all the skills. These are the disciplines, right? We're born with natural ability, but then we get fulfillment from being naturally good at things, and we enhance that and we become even greater. You know, like sports, like I was always raw, but that's because my dad put in so much work that, like, literally his genetic makeup, like, I was born with a six pack. So it's like,
sick.
I felt like I love working out. Why? Because, like, he instilled it, like, literally, like, yeah. willed that into his own, like, genetic code. And it's like, I'm born into this. I want to be an athlete because it's easy. I can run around. I'm faster than these people. I can do X, Y, and Z. So it's like, really identify, like, who are you are? What are you naturally good at? And then from there, and this is the hardest part, go outside. Literally, like, we can never know who sees the value in what we possess if we don't put ourselves around the people who can allow themselves to take inventory and take notice of our own presence and our own energy. I was very, like, you know, living in Tampa at the time, like, you know, we just in, like, the Spanish hood or whatever, just, you know, out there, Emma Circle, just doing our thing. And, like, it wasn't until I, like, picked up the camera and, like, saw there was something else happening down the street and Channel Side, which was, like, this affluent area in Tampa. Like, I don't know why they said it was, because it was crackheads right around the corner, but, like, for whatever reason, this was the rich part. So it's like not having the fear to go outside and just be who you are in a specific environment, and all of a sudden it's like people are like, oh wow, like that video guy, yeah, he's this or he's that. And I'm like, a word? Because, like, I spent all that time on step one, I looked in the mirror enough, I already know who I am, I identified my own self-worth, but I didn't identify the value of what I was worth to others. So when you go outside and you build that network, which is step three, all of a sudden now you start to be able to see what people value for their own gain and for their own intention. And there's nothing wrong with that, because the best business transactions are when there's a win-win. You want both parties to be successful. You don't want to manipulate.
Right.
So then step four is the action. Now it's time to, like, identify what problem somebody has and identify what solution you have based on who you are. So for you, being a musician or being a creative or being somebody who has a vast perspective and an array of knowledge and communication, who is that valuable to? Well, you only found out because you went into all the different spaces you felt naturally called to, and you interacted with the people past just being near them. You really, like, had those same level of conversations like you guys have in the studio. But now you're out, say, at a convention, or you're at a festival, or you're just at the grocery store or wherever. And then the fifth step is being able to create a process for the result that you had with that relationship. So if I did something with Carlos and we made a crazy song, what was our process? Well, first, we had to have a good environment to create. Maybe it was a clean studio or enough space. Next, maybe we had to have food, because we didn't want to focus if we weren't, you know,
the brownies,
right? Maybe we needed to be in a different levitated type of, like, perspective. But then the next thing was, like, the space to be creative and not have to follow a guideline. You know, you can collaborate with people who are like, no, play it like this, no, do this, no, this, versus like, hey man, I just got this beat, what do you hear? Yeah. And all of a sudden there's that trust, and next thing you know, you can, like, kind of replicate that in all these different areas. And before you know it, you'll find yourself being paid to do what you love because people love what you do.
Mm.
Damn.
That's the whole pie right there.
I don't know if that was quite 5 minutes, but holy shit. That's basically it, man.
There's a lot of good reflection points.
Absolutely. I'm going to write all that down. Yeah. Yeah. The fifth step seems like you're piecing together elements for a ritual.
Yes.
To bring something through, energetically speaking, you know?
Yeah.
People would use candles and shrines in the older days, but now we're just using, like, weed brownies and NPC pads and clean-looking studios. No. That's really cool. I like your concept of reverse engineering the success that other people find, because All the people that I look up to say that, like, success leaves clues. You know, if you like you were saying, if you follow the people that are doing what you want to do, whether from, like, an energy perspective or literally they're doing what you want to do,
right?
That's what you that's the best case scenario. That's your best shot at living the same dream. Yeah, competing with yourself on some like Kobe Bryant, Michael Jordan tip, you know?
R.I.P.,
like,
man.
R.I.P.
I'm getting Kobe tatted on me, bro. I've already decided.
R.I. and the sweetest of peas, my brother. Dude, yes. And man, like, but that man's work ethic was insane. And he would crush other people just by being himself. That's a level, like, do you know that story about how I don't know who they were playing. I'm not well versed in my basketball knowledge, but like I think they were in the playoffs, and it was the one team they'd had to play seven times potentially. And like, he saw that they would show up to the stadium at a specific time. Mm-hmm. And then like, do you know what I'm talking about?
To a certain degree. I know he did that in a lot of areas, but just literally just beating them.
Them just by being himself. He showed up like 2 or 3 hours earlier than them and was there when they started. Yeah. He was like still going and would stay the entire time they were there, and then they would leave and he'd still be there.
Yeah.
Like just working on threes or fundamentals or whatever. Like, the man was obsessively good. And everybody could take a page out of his book. Mm. And like, he's more of a, I feel like he's a Michael Jordan, but like the good spirit version of Michael Jordan. Cause I've heard some demon time tales about Michael Jordan and his like competitive nature, you know?
He had some ego in there for sure.
Heavy, heavy ego. But yeah, dude, thank you for sharing that. That was,
I appreciate you guys having me out here, man. It's
spectacular.
It's been fun. You know, in all of this, you know, as a podcast, you guys are killing it. You know,
thank you very
literally
much.
Literally just add some cameras, bro, and it's a wrap. Like, literally, like,
we're getting them
so subtle, and then just pew, through the roof. Cause you know, if people didn't see it, you know, they won't remember. But if they hear it, they'll remember how it made them feel. So, like, the second you put the two together, now it's an experience that they'll share, and they'll be able to share with others. And I think you guys are, like, you know, the discipline is obviously already there. You know, you guys are one of, like, 12 people in my, like, circle in this community that I know are, like, on a trajectory and are going to continue to do the things that they love to do, regardless of what's happening around them or what's in or what other people want or ask from them. So, like, you know, I look up to y'all, and you guys are my elders, so I must respect.
Like, bro, I look up to you, man. Like, what are you talking about? I'm glad we caught you before you started making Donald Trump money, and that way we got you on the podcast before you're fucking flying private jets to Dubai every weekend. Dude, we're going to look back on this like a time capsule.
Yeah.
Andrew's going to be listening to this on Andrew's a gonna have like skyscraper.
His own driver chauffeur.
Like. Dude, yeah. And so I'm like, dude, we got to get Andrew in here before the explosion happens. Yeah. The influence explosion.
Come on, man. I'm always accessible, bro. Like,
I know, but yeah. I just, to witness the ascension is a wonderful thing. And I mean, I said it at the beginning of the podcast, but you got to be one of the most driven, entrepreneurially minded and student of the game type dudes I've probably ever met in my life. And you know, elders or not, you are somebody to look up to and to aspire to, and I feel like a better person every time I talk to you, because it reignites a fire inside of me. I'm speaking genuinely, man. I'm not just gassing you up. I very much appreciate you and your time, because I know that it is valuable.
Nah, for sure, man. Like I said, like, there was a time where I felt like I couldn't even hit you up, bro. I was like, I got to get better. Before I ever reach out to Cameron, like, Cameron Dorsey, I was like, nah, I got to put in the work. Like, I was like, I must show up as all of me and not a shell of what I could become.
Get on a bus and get out of town, Andrew. Right? Get all the way out of town, because you're crazy, brother. I don't know what you're talking about. All right. Not so. Shit. Carlos, any closing thoughts from you, man? How you feel about
everything? Everything's been really enjoyable. I mean, I felt that too, man. Just kind of like coming through from like college years and just like getting to know your ethic of like just how to make, you know, making music and creation. And especially the last, you know, few parts about just like letting go of whatever sort of like a rubric that you have to follow when it comes to being yourself, mm-hmm. you know, making your art and enjoying yourself. Just throw that rubric out the window, you know, cause it's not always just about that. So yeah, there's a lot of good clips here to rewind.
Oh, dude! Yeah, this is a treasure trove of clips.
Bro. This is a trip.
This is inspiration. You know, this is Inspirationville right now. And we hope to have you back, Andrew, sometime in the future if you're open to that.
Man. Oh, for sure, dude. So I would actually, if you guys are down, like, I would love for you guys to do this same like podcast, and we can even chat again. But like, over at, you know, a facility, if you guys are down, like here in Tampa, like,
oh, of course,
you know, somewhere local, get the cameras out there. Cause I feel like, you know, in the spirit of all the things we talked about, like, I feel like the best value I can bring to the table is just the eyes. It's just like, you know, like people need to hear the things you guys speak of and the perspective you have, and everybody's going to apply it in their own respective ways. But like, if it's as simple as us just like picking a day and being able to go out to a spot and like literally bring all our own gear, you know, I got some lights, you got some lights, we got stuff, and then just fucking, you know, do what we do and just have conversations, but being able to put that on a scale and just like amplify the impact of what it is.
Making it look nice.
Yeah, the momentum, bro, it's crazy. Like, momentum is a beautiful thing, especially in today's age where people will literally like compound the speed at which what you do is, you know, brought to the rest of the world. So
for sure.
Yeah, bro.
Dude. Graciously accepted.
The master right here.
Yeah. The man, the myth, the legend.
Andrew, where else can people find you and anything you need to plug right now?
Yeah. So, you know, by the time this goes out, youngdrew.com is going to be the best place to find everything in regards to what, I guess, all the things we talked about and the projects and the people, and I guess you could say just like the influence of all of the greats that I've had the opportunity to be around. And then Instagram, youngdrew904. I'm gonna keep the 904 there forever, just because, you know, St. Augustine and Jacksonville had a very influential part in my, like, you know, growing up as an individual. And I always thought about dropping it, but I was like, you know what, I got to keep the 904, man.
No, St. Augustine is my place to retire. That's where I'm going, brother.
Hey, man. Cameron's Margaritaville.
There you go. Damn right.
Hey, man, there'll be an abundance there for you. So, yeah, man. But yeah, man, you know, long term, you know, I hope that, you know, we can look back on these times and literally just, like you said, the treasure trove of just like all the wisdom that you guys all shared the platform. So definitely appreciate it. And I wish y'all the best, because as long as you stay consistent, bro, like, you literally can't lose.
Hell yeah, man.
You guys heard it here first. Young Drew spitting the real facts.
The facts and figures for us all.
Yeah.
But this has been the fantastic celebratory 10th episode of the Blank Sutra. I'm Cameron Dorsey, my co-host Carlos Reyes, and the lovely philosopher king Andrew Holness has given us his time. It's a lovely episode, folks. Thank you for your time and your attention. We love you all very much. Have a great night.